A state legislative committee is giving the green light to a plan that will spend millions of dollars on opioid use prevention and recovery programs. It's Wednesday, May 8th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Republican lawmakers are ordering an audit into diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives within state government and the universities of Wisconsin. And research by the Medical College of Wisconsin has led to a recent change in Medicare coverage. Stay with us.
You tune in every weekday for your dose of local news on Wisconsin Today. You enjoy headlines with context as well as a longer story. This news is community supported. Join in with your gift at wpr.org/givewi today.
The state's Budget Writing Committee approved a plan yesterday to spend $36 million on opioid use prevention and recovery programs. Millions will go towards law enforcement, building out residential treatment facilities, and education. Tribes will also receive about $6 million. Senator Joan Balwig, a Republican from Markazan, praised funding for educating pregnant women who are struggling with addiction.
The most likely or the most helpful time of life for a woman to overcome many of their addiction issues is the time when they are expecting a little one.
The money comes from a federal settlement with drug companies. It's Wisconsin's third year using the funds. Republican lawmakers, meanwhile, are ordering an audit into diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives within state government. Sarah Lear has more.
A Republican-led legislative committee voted Tuesday to have the state's nonpartisan audit bureau look into DEI activities at state agencies and the universities of Wisconsin. Senator Tim Carpenter joined his fellow Democrats in voting against the probe. He accused Republicans of trying to sow division ahead of November's election.
I see this as nothing more than trying to drag up a boogeyman.
An executive order from Democratic Governor Tony Evers asked state agencies to come up with plans aimed at promoting inclusion and diversity among their employees. But Republican Joint Audit Committee co-chair Eric Wimberger claimed DEI principles amount to, quote, state-sponsored discrimination by focusing on immutable characteristics like race. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Dane County judge has permanently dismissed a lawsuit filed by a group that sought to undo Wisconsin's new wolf management plan. The Great Lakes Wildlife Alliance sued the Department of Natural Resources and its policy board last fall. The group accused wildlife regulators of violating the state's open meetings law and rejecting input from the group and wolf researchers on the plan. Executive Director Melissa Smith says she's surprised by the court's decision.
I don't know if we're done yet. We've got some time. We've got 45 days to decide whether to appeal that ruling.
The group argued the DNR and Natural Resources board members attended private meetings with other groups that support hunting wolves after public comment ended. The lawsuit said enough board members were present that they could influence a decision on the plan. The DNR said no more than three board members attended any meeting, failing to trigger an open meetings violation. An agency spokesperson referred questions on the ruling to state justice officials, who declined to comment. Research by the Medical College of Wisconsin led to a recent change in Medicare coverage. As Hope Kerwin reports, the federal insurance for older adults will now cover a transplant procedure for some cancer patients.
Myelodysplastic syndromes, or MDS, causes a person's bone marrow to not produce enough healthy blood cells. The cancer is treated most effectively using a stem cell transplant, but for decades, Medicare did not cover it because of a lack of research on older adults. That policy changed this spring, thanks to work led by the Medical College of Wisconsin Center for International Blood and Marrow Transplant Research. Dr. Douglas Rizzo was a lead investigator.
It is much easier, appropriately easier, for older Americans with MDS to get a transplant here in the United States without all the friction of having to go through local Medicare administrators, et cetera.
Rizzo says roughly 6,500 Medicare patients have already been able to get a transplant because of the studies. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, some memories fade, but others stay with us for a lifetime. In today's Wisconsin Life, one woman reflects on which childhood memories grew with her. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Tyler Ditter with a story about reliving childhood memories.
There are memories that you hold dear to your heart, knowing you'll never experience those often simple moments again. Change can feel so gradual that when you look back, you forget just how drastic it can really be. Pat Faraday of Milwaukee talked with husband Dennis about those kind of memories from life as a kid in cities like Memphis and Jacksonville, Florida. They talked about her experience with StoryCorps.
After New Orleans, you moved to Memphis in 1966. What was it like in Memphis?
Well, Elvis was still alive, and he had his house. You could drive past it, and you could see his white Cadillac in the driveway. And he had a full-size manger scene that was lit up, and nobody had anything like that. You could see the gates, and there were always people standing out there waiting for him. But we never went in because he was alive and he was living there. So
you couldn't tour Elvis's
house? No. We eventually did it when I turned 50 because I had never seen Elvis's house. But I remember there used to be a Waffle House across the street. My dad took me for breakfast one day and you could see Elvis's house. Jacksonville. It was a naval port, and on the weekends they would have the naval ships open. And because it was free, we'd go often, and a lot of times it was seeing like mechanical repair ships. But there was one weekend the Saratoga aircraft carrier was open, and we rode the elevator up to the top and looked at the planes, and that was really cool. Nowadays, of course, you can't do that. They never let you on an aircraft carrier. But there were other things that we did. Like one night we went to the public park at about 8 o'clock in the evening and they had turtle nests that were hatching.
Right on the beach?
Yeah, right on the beach. It was the wildest thing. There were hundreds of them. Nowadays, there's people that sit over those nests and guard them, but it was a full moon and the turtles were all hatching and we were on the beach and we were picking up the little turtles and we were taking them to the ocean. We were down in Jacksonville in 1976 for the bicentennial, and NASA had opened many of the buildings that you normally couldn't see, like the vehicle assembly building where they put the Saturn V's together. That was open, and we walked in there and we looked up. But there wasn't any rocket in there at the time, but just to stand up there and see it, see the Caterpillar that was parked. You could walk through the astronauts' housing where they stayed, where they were quarantined before the missions, and up and down the hallway, it had pictures of the astronauts.
Now, the Apollo program was over by then, right?
No, this was 76.
Okay.
I have a younger brother and a younger sister, and they let us go to this building where Mission Control, where they had the windows which would close when they'd launch, and they'd sit there with the control boards. Well, they let us go in there and they played this video of a launch, you know, and they let us throw all the switches on the panel board. You know, we pretended, you know, to launch it. It was great fun. But now I've been to museums and it's like all those boards, I'm talking about the control boards, are all behind glass. And I like to take pictures and send it to my brother and sister and say, hey, remember when we did that? And they thought it was going to last forever. So they were letting these little kids throw all these switches because they didn't think it was anything to preserve. And now they're all preserved in museums and stuff.
That was Pat Faraday of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Her interview was recorded for StoryCorps, a national initiative to record and collect stories of everyday people. Excerpts were selected and produced by Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of WPR and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Tyler Ditter.
And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for tagging along for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers today putting the show together behind the scenes, that would be Mallory Chang and John Davis. We'll be right back in that podcast feed again tomorrow, and of course Friday and every single weekday afterwards. So just hit subscribe, sit back, relax, and we'll be there automatically for you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.